All right, let's go to 3 John 1:1. In fact, let's do this. I'll go to 3 John 1:1. You go to Deuteronomy 8:18. Okay? All right. Because we know this one. The elder to the beloved Gaius, in whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walked in the truth. So we're working on three things for 2023. Three things: your health and your healing, your prosperity, and your healthy relationships. That's what we're working on around here. Now, so Deuteronomy 8:18. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. Now, do you remember what we always say when we read this verse and we use this in an offering? We always say this: the purpose for God giving you the power to get wealth is to eradicate darkness, okay, to send the gospel around the world, and to keep covenant. But tonight I want to talk to you about the covenant part. And so I want to read two versions to you. So just look up and listen. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. In order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Here's another translation. But remember the Lord your God is the one who makes you wealthy. He's confirming the promise which he swore to your ancestors. It's still in effect today. So what he's saying, the covenant that he made with Abraham and so on, is still in effect. So he's talking more about his side than your side. Come on. He's saying, so, you know, we're like, yes, we want to get the gospel around the world. Yes, we want to eradicate darkness. But God has to do this. He has to give you the power to get wealth if he's going to keep his covenant. He gave that to Abraham and said, I'm going to give you the power to get wealth. That's part of the covenant. Okay. And so now this is about his part. So, when we look at the purpose of this, we see that one purpose is just this. God wants to keep his promise. He's a promise keeper. Now, I'm going to read Deuteronomy 8:7 down through 18, just so you get the feel of what he was saying to them. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Everybody say good land. Good land. Of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills. We have that around here. A land of wheat and barley. I don't know about that, but of vines, we have fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land which stones are iron and out of those hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and you are full and have built beautiful houses, so that's on the list, beautiful houses, and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which there were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of a flinty rock. So even when you weren't doing so good, he's still helping. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he that gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to his fathers as it is that day. So, the good land is yours. But here's the secret. Just remember where you got it. So what we're looking at here is we're looking at the word remember. You shall remember. Now, we're not just talking about, when we start digging in right here, we're not actually just talking about prosperity. We're actually adding relationship to this. So this kind of brings us into the place that in our three prongs we're looking at this year. We're talking about relationship. And you got to get your relationship right with God if you're going to get your relationship right with other people. And so when God remembers you, let me just tell you what it looks like when God is remembering you. This is what he's saying. I hold you in my mind. You are ever before me. I crown you. I live in constant reality of the bond between us. That would be the one I'd want you to pick out if I was telling you that I wanted, if we're going to use the word remember. When you remember, you're actually doing this. You're living in a constant reality of the bond between you and Jesus, you and the Father, you and the Holy Ghost. And this is what God would say. It's as if I am at this moment standing in the blood swearing. You know, God himself stood in the blood with Abraham. He did the walk of blood. He stood in that blood and swore what he would do for Abraham. Amen. And so when he was making covenant, and then I am never I did or I will in the future, always now I am. So we're remembering. This is what God is saying. When he's remembering his covenant with you, it's right now. It's not I'm going to. In fact, we need to start getting away with get ready for miracles, get ready. They're here. They're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then I am plotting and planning ways to bless you and surprise you as you keep the covenant terms. Always action. Knock and all open. Seek and you'll find. Ask and you'll receive. It, however, must be received by faith because it is a benefit that we have. Psalm 105:2-4. So we're not to forget that this is what God does. He's passionate about this with us. He's in covenant with us. So we hold him in our minds. We worship him. We keep him ever before us and so on. So, you know, covenant is a wonderful thing. And, you know, I don't have time to go through it. Many of you have gone through a lot of the covenant teachings with me, but you really need to go back and look at it because God, of course, we see him cutting covenant all the way. He started with Adam and Eve, the clothes he made for them. He was cutting covenant those in those days. Okay. And also particularly when we see Abraham and what he did, with circumcision and then the walk of blood when he killed the animals and God swore. Yeah. Now, so, but the thing, Westerners don't get covenant as well as Easterners. The tribes of Africa, they get this stuff. They understand. It's like this. If we get in covenant with one another, we go to war for one another. We do everything we do for one another. And if I don't keep covenant, I die. Well, can I tell you this? You didn't keep the covenant. Jesus died. So he paid for your covenant keeping. And so right now in the New Testament, we're living in a place where God the Father and Jesus are the two covenant representatives now. They're the representatives and neither one of them can fail. So you got it sewed up. See? But it's important. Go back and Brother Kenneth Copeland has the best covenant teachings I've ever heard. And so you can go back and listen to those. That right there, covenant is one of the greatest foundations to your faith because you know that God will not forsake the covenant. He sent his son and allowed him to die so that he would be a covenant keeper. Okay. So most of us know that, but if you don't, it would behoove you to study that. Now, the Bible says we're redeemed from the curse so that the blessing will come upon us. Galatians 3:13. So now our part on our side, we don't earn this. We receive this. And so we live by faith in our provider, not the world system. And we add our actions to what we believe, right? So you're not doing this, you know, if I'm good enough, God's going to bless me. No, Jesus was good enough. God is good. I'm going to honor him by doing what's right, doing it right because it's right, but I'm going to, by faith, receive what he has. Walk with me through this and you'll get a little more. Remember Mephibosheth? So here you have David and Jonathan and the, back when they were younger, they became like best friends and they had a covenant. They made covenant between each other. David would be going up to, minister to Saul. They got to know each other and they cut covenant with one another. What we found out then when Saul and Jonathan, y'all know who Saul is, the king, Jonathan, his son, when they actually, died, David became king and David was looking for someone to show what to. Covenant. Hesed. Yeah. He said, I'm looking for someone. So that's honor. He's being like God. He's saying, I had this relationship with you. So I'm going to make sure that if you have any living relative, I'm going to continue. Are you getting that? I'm going to continue with the generations. And that's what God has done for us. So we know the story. We know David sends an entourage. They go pick up Meph out there and they bring him in and they give him all his land back that his grandfather owned. And then this is really cool. So now he's got this business, but then David's people work the land. So he doesn't even have to pay his employees. Whoop, whoop. That's pretty good. And so here he has all this land being worked, this business going, employees who are paid by somebody else. But yet he's sitting at the king's table eating. So it's like he's got favor upon favor. My business is running. Everything's good. I don't even have to buy my food. And so he seems to be doing pretty good. And, you know, you may think that, you know, you have to look really hard to find those kind of things today. But I think if you'll look a little further, you'll start discovering that God's in the business of doing this for you. When I was a kid, and some of you have heard the story over and over, and I like it, so you get to hear it again. But when I was a kid, my aunts didn't have children yet. They were my mother's younger sisters. And so we took Mamaw, my grandmother, to the store every Saturday. You know, she didn't drive. Back then, not all the mamaws drove. Yeah, y'all find out that there's some history back there. Anyway, so my mom and her two sisters would put her in the car and take her. And you had to go to three grocery stores. We had to go to Ho's Grocery, Miss Murray's, and H-E-B. Because Mamaw had certain things she liked at certain stores. And she could not go to Miss Murray's because Miss Murray was, you know, like a family friend in town. So, you know, you had to go there. Well, anyway, so we would do that. And then you had to stop by JCPenney to do some clothes shopping. But when all of that was done, we would go to the Five and Dime, and it was called Duke and Ayers. Duke and Ayers. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay, see a few people. Ben Franklin, Woolworths, those kind of stores. Okay, and so we go to those stores. Well, I have $3.50 in my pocket, but I always pick out the $7 gift, the toy. I mean, I'm this high, and I'm looking over going, you know, there's that bow and arrow and those Barbie stilettos. They go real good together. Stuff like that, you know, you're looking at all that. No, I wasn't real big into Barbie, but I did like the bow and arrow, and I did like the high heels. So I would get my toy, whatever it was, without checking the price. But Aunt Barbara or Aunt Dorothy would either finish the price off, or most of the time I kept the $3.50, and they paid for it. That's covenant. That's God. You see, I had the money, but it got paid for anyway. You know, when you go to the convention, it's free. Southwest Believers Convention is free, but you got to pay for the hotel. Can I tell you that I walked up to pay my bill at the hotel, and they would say, the bill's already been paid. Someone paid your bill. That's God. That's God. That's the extra. Did I have the money to pay for it? Yes, But I didn't have to, because there's blessing on top of that. You know, I worked in Chicago. Deb and I worked in Chicago for a time. And while we were there, we never missed a believers convention. And so we just had to go to our boss and say, we're going to go. And so can we go? Not we're going to go. Could we please go? And, you know, we're just willing to take the time off. And Tom, you met Janice. She was here a few weeks ago. Tom said, you know what? You sure can go. Just stop at a couple of central offices for me. Make some reports for me on the way down through Illinois. I need those central offices checked out. And then you go on down to the convention. So we're sitting in the convention making $38.50 plus per diem while we're listening to the word. That's God. That's God. It's God when you're doing something and the big tractor comes along and takes it over. When you're mowing the grass, but somebody comes with something bigger and finishes it. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a God who wants to provide for you bigger than what you're thinking. Y'all know the big tractor story. Deb's down there. We have this little mission house for Anchor Ministries. And we're down there. And Deb's mowing waist-high grass with a little old crummy lawnmower. And here comes the county worker. Move, ma'am. And he knocks all the grass down in 3 minutes. The big tractor's coming. It's time to remember that again. Your big tractor is coming. Praise the Lord. So I think we need to look at that and really get our eyes on that and go, well, it just never happens for me. This is what you need to say. It's happening for me in 2023. It is happening to you, not just financially, but favor in other areas, blessing in other areas. Whatever you put your hand to is going to prosper. Your relationships, your health is going to prosper because God is in the covenant promise business. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe it too. Thank you, Jesus. I can tell story after story, but I've just decided to say yes to, quote, living in the land. Just live in the land. Amen. I think if I could help you in your thinking, get your thinking turned around to this, you know, we kind of get in this mode because of desire, but we need to turn this around a little bit. So you're like, you know, would God give it to me? Can I have it? When is it coming? What is my job assignment? What am I supposed to do? But from, can I have that house? Would God give me a house? You know, I think that thinking needs to change to, you know what? I'm just going to submit to the covenant and let the Lord go ahead and give it to me. Go ahead and receive it. See, I think that we struggle in our soul and we think we're trying to receive. But I think if we'll just get in the rest of God and just say, you know what, Lord, I'm submitting to your will. Your will is to empower me to prosper. Your will is the good land, the good house, the good relationship, the healing, the prosperity, the influence with the gospel. Mm-hmm. That's God's will. Well, y'all sure are quiet. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's true. So I, from what I see, we just need to surrender to this covenant-keeping God and let him give us what he wants to give us. Amen. Stop struggling. Receive. Amen. Just say, okay, Lord, you know what? I'm moving into my new place. Mm-hmm. Just start saying it. I'm moving into my new place. I submit to your will about my assignment. Instead of, how will I get a job? I need a job. I need a better job. I need a better job. What are you going to do? You know, I'm so talented. I don't know why no one wants me. That's probably the problem right there. But anyway. But Lord, lead me to where you want me to be. Because he will. Amen. I'm going to go to Matthew 17:24. Matthew 17:24. Praise the Lord. You want to go with me? Are y'all getting anything out of this? Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of earth take customs or taxes, from their sons or from strangers?" Peter said, "From strangers." Jesus said, "Then the sons are free." Jesus said, "The sons are free." Jesus said, "The sons are free." That's what he said. "Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, take the fish that comes up first, and when you've opened its mouth, you'll find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." The sons are free. I'm a daughter of the king. I live in the kingdom of God that supersedes all other governments. But I'm on assignment. I live in an invisible embassy on this earth. Okay? I'm living in an embassy. Have you ever seen an embassy in another country? So it may just all be third world all around it. But when you get up to the American embassy, the gates are beautiful, the grass is green, the place is beautiful. I mean, it totally changes at the American embassy. Come on, somebody. That's where you live. No matter what's going on around you out in this world, you're living in the kingdom embassy. Your grass is green. Your house is beautiful. It's protected. You're living in a garrison. Everything is going right. Maybe the world can't see it, but it's there and you're in it. Amen? So, now, I pay what it takes to not offend them. So in this world, we use a certain currency. We use money, currency, to exchange. And they have ways and laws and things that we do things. There have been better days, but there are things out there. So I must pay. No, wait, I don't have to pay. So which is it? But it has to be paid. It has to be paid. It has to be paid. But the kingdom gets the bill. The kingdom gets the bill. Every time I send my check for taxes, I'm sowing seed because the sons are free. I'm actually just sowing seed into this world because I'm actually free. Are y'all with me? This is probably maybe bigger than what you've ever thought about, but it is actually the truth. So the bill will be paid. Now, the taxes will be paid. So everything that comes out of my pocket and out of my bank account will come from the kingdom or be reimbursed by the kingdom if you'll believe him for it. God will pay your taxes. The IRS is going to just think you paid them. The county's just going to think you paid them. But God is paying them. In fact, God bought my groceries. You see what I'm saying? He's the source. He's the power source. He's the one that gives you the power to go out there and get the wealth. Oh, but it's a promise. I don't care who you are. If you're a Christian, this belongs to you. Now, a lot of people aren't going to claim it because they think being poor is humility. It doesn't look any different to the world, but if you look, what you're actually seeing is that you buy without money. Let me read you the scripture for that. Isaiah 55:1. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now, it's saying right there, come to the waters. You know, there's an old story that when the coronation of a new king would happen, that they would all come to this meeting place where there's a fountain. They would set up this fountain, and they'd have three different fluids or liquids flowing out of this fountain. And everyone could come, and they could bring their bucket or their cup, and they could drink out of those three fountains. That's an old story that they tell. Well, You know, with us, waters, floods, overflowing streams, copious showers, that's all used in scriptures to denote abundant blessing from God, right? Okay. And especially the blessings that exist under the Messiah. Okay. So water is something we must have. Am I right? Okay. Thirst many times can be an intense desire. Sometimes you've worked really hard and you remember, man, I'm so thirsty. Hunger and thirst come every day to your body, every day. Intense desire. Hunger and thirst come every day. Jesus is that fountain. He is the supply. He will give the thirsty drink. He will give the hungry food. Now, I'm going somewhere a little further here. Water quenches and refreshes and revitalizes. Wine makes people happy. Milk nourishes. So you've got being refreshed, you've got having joy, and you've got nourishment. So you can come, I'm talking about the scripture, you can come to the waters and you can be quenched, you can be refreshed, you can be revitalized, you can get happy, and you can be nourished at the waters. That's what this is saying right here. Now, the question is here, why do you zealously attach yourself to a system from which you get no comfort or nourishment? You may get what's necessary and a few nice things, but the world system will not give you the true nourishment. It won't give you the true quench that you want. It's not going to give you any joy. Amen. You might be happy for a little bit, but it doesn't really work very well, and we know that. The world system doesn't do that for you. In fact, they say that Alexander the Great wept on the throne of the world. His life was a mess. Yet he's a great conqueror, the great. How great was he? Miserable in all of his stuff. But in the kingdom we live in, we can have enough to be an influence for God and have joy and peace and nourishment. Amen. So this place that we would come to is so much better. There's so many things that money can't buy. As the song says, can't buy me love, right? Can't buy you love. People can have a lot of money but be so miserable. So prosperity, the power to get wealth is there, but how many people just suffer within all their riches? But you can live in a different realm. Amen. Amen. You know, your house can really be a place where people come into and they go, this is great. I'm just going to sit here and enjoy. And that's a ministry to people. Your backyard could be that. Mine's not right now, but you're still, we're working on it. We're getting there. It is to some people. We have a pasture in our backyard. But just, you know, your deck, your porch, I'm just going to tell you, your car could even be a place of peace. My son, he jumped in the car with us to go somewhere when we were in New Mexico. And the first thing he did was open the door and went, I might get some snow in this immaculate car. And I thought, well, thank God he noticed. You know, I mean, and he would. But that brings peace to people to look at something that's clean and good. And right now in your mind you're going, yeah, I went around the corner and the Coke bottles were flying on one. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, but things like that matter. It's an influence to people. Praise the Lord. Anytime you see the Clarks going down the road in that red car, it's a blessing.
Oh, it
The only trouble is we can't get in there with them, but it just makes me happy to see them enjoying that. You look at, every time I see that, I go, God is good. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He just wants to be good to all of us. So when Jesus came, he brought the power to access heaven. You can access heaven. And in heaven are all good things. Isaiah 55:3 says, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. Now, this is very important. We're going down the last trail here, okay? So listen to this. Wakey, wakey. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. The sure mercies of David. God makes a covenant with everyone that comes to him. The whole expression here denotes that the covenant made with David was one on which promised great favors and one which was not to be revoked. He can't take it back. He won't take it back. He won't dissolve the covenant. It's yours. The power to get wealth on every level is yours, and it's irrevocable. I would submit to you, submit to it. Don't keep trying to struggle world system. Submit to the power that's on your life, and it'll come easy to you, and you'll get answers, and you'll get what you need. The sure mercies of David. I'm sure Hesed's in there somewhere. So with covenant comes this fountain. And listen, God is in that covenant based with you, based on the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. It's already settled. You just get in it. You just get in it. Have you ever read the scripture in Ephesians that said the church is predestined? People aren't predestined. But once you get in the kingdom, it's predestined. You know, Calvinism teaches that some people were just called. Y'all know that? You're looking like, what? Huh? Yeah, so they don't hardly talk about it anymore, but that's something that was, you know. No, some people, it's not that some people get saved and some don't. You had to choose it. You had to choose Jesus. You had to get in. But once you got in, you're in this kingdom. You're a citizen. You have dual citizenship, or maybe more. And so you're in this, you have this guarantee. But see, the thing is, you're not just a citizen. You're not a subject. Let's go up a higher level. You're a son. So not only do you have the pleasure of being a citizen of the kingdom, but you're living in the palace. You see that? It's even bigger than just being a subject to the Messiah. You're not a subject. He is the King of Kings. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you. Come and buy. How do you come and buy? Faith. Just faith. Just believe him. See, the Lord had me put this in you tonight, so that your faith would rise up and you could just say, you know, I believe I will. I'm just going to go ahead and submit to this. Lord, I'm drinking from the fountains. I'm drinking through all three places. In our case, we're going to drink for good relationships. We're going to drink for health. And we're going to drink for wealth. We're going to have all that. And within what I'm talking about, everything that covers. Everything that covers. Amen. Thank you. You received this tonight? Father, we thank you for it, Lord. We bless you. We praise you and we give you glory. We will come tonight with faith in that covenant. We will surrender to the prosperous life and we will remember the Lord our God who has given us the power to get wealth. Amen. Praise the Lord.